I don't ever title these things because I'm not that creative most of the time, but every once in a while one comes to me. And if I was going to title this message today, it would be Where Your Feet Are. Title would be Where Your Feet Are. You see, Paul and Silas were traveling around spreading the gospel. We call them Paul's missionary journeys because that's what he was doing, out trying to build the church up. And he wanted to go to Asia, but Scripture says the Holy Spirit prevented him from going to Asia. And then he wanted to go again to Asia, and the Spirit of Jesus this time prevented him from going. And then he had a dream. He had a vision in this dream of a man from Macedonia, which, if you don't know, that's Europe. So here is Paul, and there's somebody from what we would now call Europe standing on the other side telling him, this man is saying, come to Macedonia. So he sees that as God telling him that he needs to go. And so he heads that direction. But instead of finding a man in Macedonia, he found a woman named Lydia. Now, there are so many wonderful things to preach about in this passage. I could even make an argument for Paul being a feminist in this passage alone, which, if you've read some of his other works, is kind of hard to do from time to time. But there's parts of this passage where Paul and Silas, this is a culture still, even though they're in Europe, they're in Philippi. This is still a culture where men who aren't related don't communicate with a woman in public. This is still a place where women are second class. But here they went down to the river and found Lydia, who is not only a woman, she's a woman with a business. And they listen to her and she talks with them. And if you keep reading on in the chapter, you learn that the first church in Philippi begins in her home. There is a lot you can talk about Lydia. A lot about women in leadership and a lot that we can talk about. But we're not going to talk about it today. I wanted to talk about something else. Paul and Silas, every town they went to, what'd they do? They would go on the Sabbath, they would go to the local synagogue, and they would start talking to Jews, because that's who they knew, that's their people, right? That's where they would start talking. Well, in Philippi, there were not 10 Jews, so there could not be a synagogue. So what did Paul and Silas do is they decided to go down to the river. Because it's not just an old song. Apparently, in the ancient Near East, that's where people went to pray. And so they went because they thought they might be able to find some God-fearing people. When they got there, all they found were women. Now, we don't know what Paul and Silas thought in their minds, but they're following a vision from a man in Macedonia, and they get to the river, and instead, all they find is women. Now, I think it's important to understand that the history and the foundation of the ministry that took place in Europe began right here, right at this moment, because Paul was willing to be present, regardless of what his thoughts may have been, what his desires may have been. Excuse me.
Yes? Well, I'm kind of in the middle of something right now.
I need to get back to what. Can I call you later? Well, of course. I don't care if she does that. That's really not any of my business. I really do. I gotta go. Okay.
that really wasn't a phone call.
How many times during your week does that happen?
Too many.
Amen. Amen. How many times do you go to a restaurant and look at a table and there's two people or three people or four people and they're not talking at all, but they're looking at the little 4-inch screen in front of them? And they're not all just millennials. There are people like you and me too. We do it. We're not present in the moment. We're not, quit elbowing each other. We're not in the moment. We're not where our feet are. But in this moment, Paul was where his feet were. Now, to be fair, he didn't have an iPhone, so we don't know whether he would have been distracted by, you know, rabbis.com or whatever, but he was present in that moment. Because a man of his stature, a man of his education, a man of his upbringing would not have wanted to waste his time with a group of women by the river. But the same Holy Spirit that kept him from going to Asia helped him be present at that moment. And because he was present at that moment, the church in Europe began. Now, you know, every one of us believes that drinking and driving is bad. But did you know that if you're texting and driving, it's as if you're 3 times the legal limit of alcohol? That's just my public service message for today. Because please, be present in your vehicle. But Paul was present that day. We have it harder than Paul. I'm going to argue that we have it harder because no matter where you go, whatever restaurant you're in, it may not be the 4-inch screen in front of you. It may be the 80-inch screen that's behind your partner that you're having lunch with, and you're trying not to watch the news or the sporting event or whatever's playing behind them because we're constantly being distracted. And it's not like we need any help not being present. Right? We do it even without the distractions. Take Paul, for instance. He could have been sitting there by the river with these women thinking, oh, how am I going to get to a group of men? I need to go find some place that I can find these men so we can get this church started. This is what God's called me to do. Why didn't God let me go to Egypt? I mean, to Asia. Why didn't God let me go to Asia? I could have fixed it there. He could have been living in the past or worried about the future. But instead, he was present right there. His mind was where his feet were. We have learned that multitasking is good. I would argue that multitasking is A, not even possible, and B, bad. Because if I'm looking and talking to you, I can't be thinking about something else. It's only when we stop and slow down and concentrate do we become empathetic, do we become committed to understanding the person who is right across from us. We get so wrapped up in numbers and where things are going to be and what's going to be that we forget and even cripple ourselves in being able to do one-on-one really well, to listen intently to the other person. We have difficulty keeping in the present. We recall the past, we anticipate the future. Future's either too slow in coming, we want to hurry it up, or we want to recall the past because that's when things were wonderful, or we want to beat ourselves up about something we did in the past And instead of looking and facing and talking to the person directly across from us. The other day, I'll confess, I have this cool app on my phone and my iPad, and you can get it too, but it takes the Book of Worship, which is one of the things we use as Presbyterians, and it has built in within it daily prayers and daily readings. But what's really a kind of a pain is if you have to have two books and you got to look in one, then you got to look up the scripture to read and you go back and forth. Well, the little app does it all for you. So all you do is you see, oh, this is the scripture for today. And there you go. And it also has prayers to help you get started in your prayer time, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession to help you get started. The other day I found myself reading my prayer, and my mind was 9,000 miles away. I was reading the words, but thinking about what I had to do that day. I was thinking about the tasks that were at hand. And I realized that I wasn't even being present in my own devotional time with God. It's difficult being in the present, but that's where exciting things happen. That's the only time that something can happen, if you think about it. It's either memory or anticipation, otherwise. The present is the only time we really have. And it's definitely the only time that God gets to surprise us. Because that's what God did to Paul by that river so long ago. God surprised Paul with a woman whose heart after God thrilled him to such a degree that he and Silas were willing to throw society's judgment to the wind and stay in the home of this woman. And her comment to Paul is, if you trust what I have said, if you believe what I said, that I am truly a believer, come, be in my home. Paul listened to her. He understood her. He was surprised at the moment because she wasn't the man from Macedonia, but she was still who God had led him there to be with. He very well could have missed that opportunity, but he was there, present in the moment. He allowed God to surprise him. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a denomination called the Assemblies of God, which, if you don't know anything about it, is a Pentecostal denomination. Surprise was a very common occurrence in our worship services. And I'm not being derogatory. I still have a lot of friends and family in the Assemblies of God. But you never knew what was going to happen inside one of those services. You know, the rest of us Christians seem to have created an environment and a church service with the sole purpose of minimizing surprises. I think we have turned our practice of worship into a place where surprises are not welcome. Look at the lives of Jesus and Paul. They were full of surprises. Something new was happening all the time. Sometimes it made them uncomfortable. Sometimes it ended up getting them thrown in jail. Sometimes they got rocks thrown at their heads. Sometimes people tried to throw them off a cliff. But God was allowed to surprise them. I believe that if we are truly present in our moments together, if we are truly present in our times of worship, God wants to surprise us. God wants us to recognize when someone like Lydia, the outsider, comes in and says, here's the message from God. Come, I want Jesus. I want to be hospitable. I want you. God wants to surprise us. I think we need, as a culture, as a church, as individuals, to practice more of being present physically, spiritually, empathetically, to be present where our feet are. Because human connections, the church, all of our families, that's where the power of God resides. In us as a community. We are not lone rangers out there by ourselves, but we need to be together. And when we are together and present, when there are two or more of us together and present, there is a promise that says God will surprise us, and God will be there also. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.